Brilliant. Thank you very much, everybody. Welcome to this Personnel Committee meeting on Tuesday the 19th of December at 6 o'clock. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also know that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Item one, apologies.
There are no council apologies, but there are two officers that would like to send their apologies. So that would be Senator Lavrovska and Adina Samari from UNISA.
Thank you very much for that. And then we have the minutes from the previous meeting. Can I confirm these are a record of the minutes held on the 10th of October 2023?
I agree.
All agree? Thank you very much. Yeah. Sign them and disclosures, item three is disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. Do we have any? Thank you very much. Item four is questions under committee procedures 12.8, and we don't have any. That which swiftly takes us to item five, which is the grading structure. Rob, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. So just very briefly, as the paper is there for you, and I'm sure you've had a read through, this is to seek the Personnel Committee's approval to introduce a revised grading structure that will incorporate two new grades, UG, which I'll set out in the report and show in the appendices. It's also to remove the spinal column points at 74, which was used for the previous Deputy Chief Executive post, but has been unused since 2009. And then, obviously, the pay policy statement to be amended to reflect that revised grading structure. And the reason for that change is in order for us to close the gap between the current grades for directors and the chief executive's role, which is a historical issue that has been noticed previously, and also to ensure that we have the capacity to recruit and retain senior officers of appropriate skills and experience. So I'm happy, Chair, to take any questions in relation to the report, but as you see, it's already been discussed a couple of other forums. I think what we can be clear on is that there is no detriment from this in terms of any staff member. So it has only a positive effect in terms of the staffing implications.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Rob, for that one. We've had a report from the Unison Union, but also we have present with us Jim Clark from GMB. So what I'm going to do is take Rob's report and then any comments from the unions, and then we'll throw it over to members for questions. Is that okay? Jim, would you like to add anything further to the report that we've had?
Yes, please. Obviously, we're all for people getting pay rises and whatever they are. That is important. We want to see good pay over government. But we just don't believe this is the right way of doing it in our eyes and ever go. And I'm just thinking it's so unfair to get at the top and not at the bottom. But as I say, once everyone get a pay rise, Paul, we'd just like the council to commit to reviewing. We put our reports in here, and I'm not going to just read it out because you've already had that ready. And also, Unison's also had an additional report. So we'd just like you to consider what our findings are, what we said, and take into account if we make a decision.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. So I'm opening it up to members. Any questions for either Rob or Jim?
Just to test my understanding, so 74 is going because it's redundant, really. Is that correct? This correct?
Yeah.
And then the new two grade levels coming to that gap, if you like, in terms of where we are. And these are not actually just for directors, it will be for ones that can move up the grades, I guess, is it then? Is that what I'm thinking?
So through you, Chair, so what effectively we'll be doing is creating an additional 2 points on the grading structure, and they will be most likely filled by director level posts, but that could be from somebody coming in new once those are brought into effect, or it could be from somebody being promoted into a director role because of a vacancy. So we need to do some work post approval of this to actually map them into our approach to that. But that is the case. Ultimately, there could be somebody promoted into that. And what I think, just picking up if I may on the point that Jim made, there is no room anywhere else in the structure to add new points. So it's not doing this for the top, this is the only place we can add them. So to answer your point more fully, more widely, that does mean there is scope then for movement in the structure which currently does not exist. So that, I think, goes back to your point, Councillor Stark, about people moving up the pay grade over time.
We're not absolutely saying just because there's a new structure and a new, sorry, through you, Chair. The new structure coming in, it's not just that people will get a pay rise. They're there now to actually say if there's a need, we actually can do it. So we're not actually saying to everybody, yeah, you're going to get a pay rise tomorrow. What we're saying is, in my view, when I'm ready, is that there's an opportunity now to actually have that flexibility, if you like, in terms of moving people forward.
Correct.
Am I right in
your thinking? You're all right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Haynes.
Rob, at some point in the report, you used the expression trickle-down effect. How would you expect that to work?
So, it won't, as we've heard, this isn't going to result in any changes immediately. There is a scenario which you can imagine playing out over a period of time whereby by creating those grades at the senior level, there is the opportunity for people to be promoted onto those and for that then to allow other people to move up the scale. So it's rather than a trickle down, it's more of a ripple up, perhaps is the right way of describing it. But I think the point we're saying is it creates some flexibility within the pay spine that currently doesn't exist. So it's not necessarily the case that it will trickle down immediately. We're not going through a mass regrading or anything along those lines. So just to be clear about that, this is about over time opening some space in what is a very compressed pay spine to allow us some flexibility.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Haynes. Any other councillors? Councillor Boker.
In opening up this flexibility, is it going to help specific areas of shortage or loss? So I'm thinking of planning, for instance.
It won't do immediately, but we are using other mechanisms in planning, in housing, and further down the basis. We're going to go back to the point that Jim made. We know there are other areas where we're struggling with recruitment and retention, and we are trying a range of things to support recruitment and retention, including market supplements and golden hellos, and also looking at career-graded jobs, internships, apprentices, a whole range of things to help in those areas. So planning in particular, we've got a very strong focus on that. Ultimately, you know, if we were recruiting to a senior planning post and it was mapped across to some of these, then it might help. But I think it's about looking at it across the whole of the spine and in the round rather than just about what those particular two roles would do for hard to fill posts.
Through you, Chair, just carrying on from that. I didn't find in any of the papers an analysis of staffings, and what I mean by that is either staff lack of staffing because we can't retain them, and or lack of staffing because of long-term sickness, because both of them create a lack of resource, whether it's sickness or they move on or they don't want to come to this authority. Do we have that sort of analysis? Because it's very difficult to get a picture of staffing and hence pay in the authority.
I think we could probably point to the recent report related to finance and performance, which has some wider information,
right.
But I'm not sure it'll answer all your questions. Perhaps we could send that to you and to the rest of the committee if they'd like.
Possible.
And then we could perhaps pick up any questions that aren't answered through that paper.
Because what I'm trying to turn this on its head and look at the authority as a whole and say, where do we have the major holes in staffing? Simon looks a bit perplexed, but what I'm trying to get to is, should we not be attacking staffing as well through your proposal, but also through knowing where those holes are?
Again, through you, Chair. So I think that is happening. So we have, as we've discussed, described in terms of planning, a particular focus there, we have a particular focus in strategic housing, we've got particular pieces of work going on in terms of recruiting repairs staff as well. So there are a range of things, and there is a broader recruitment retention group that is meeting to look at everything from, you know, taking CVs on in terms of the way in which we go out to recruit, yeah, to the way in which we set up our job descriptions to make sure we're not having too many essential criteria and putting people off that could come into the authority. So we've got a whole raft of things that are going on, and included some very focused pieces of work in areas where we are struggling, yeah, to recruit, which we also know then affects our agency spend, because we're bringing an agency to cover and we're going to try and reduce that over time to get back to having permanent employees in those roles.
Okay, that's good. But I'm trying to take Jim's point up that I don't think I would use the word ethical, but I would use the word of understanding where the holes in staff are. Because, as Jim says, is it because we are not doing competitive, which is a word you use, competitive analysis of job evaluations? And is that why we have holes in our staff? I'm trying to find the correlation between the two things.
So, if I get through to Jack, quite a while
I
come in.
If I can just add, where we've got posts where we know we're struggling to fill, they're the ones at the moment that we're using the market supplement element to increase, yeah, those grades.
Which increases their pay, basically.
Yeah. But equally, where posts are vacant for long periods of time, we are working with the managers to ensure that they reevaluate those jobs, they get the detail of the jobs to be very accurate in the person specifications, so that we are recruiting the right people. So that is part of our recruitment process where we're struggling to
I have to hear comments from individual, and I'm going to just summarise this, in, say, planning, where they feel they're overworked and underpaid. That's not the specifics that they've given me.
Well,
I'm just saying that...
Yeah. If I may, I would imagine planners in Charnwood, Blaney, Harborough would say the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think we're all in local government in terms of planning. The big issue is not our pay grades or our job evaluation or... our culture or our flexibility or our the way in which we operate as a council. The big thing in planning is that there are not enough planners in terms of supply, and many of them have moved to the private sector, who can offer increasingly larger salaries and now much more flexible terms. So where we used to do well in comparison to the private sector, they've actually caught up in some areas. So it's increasingly, you know, attractive for planners to move there. And this planning, the issue of planning has been going on for probably 10, 15 years and getting worse. So it looks more and more like what happens in social care and some other areas of local government profession now. So there's quite a lot of work being done nationally to try and increase the supply of planners. The government's brought out some bursaries for universities to try and attract them in. And what we're trying to do is grow our own. So planning has got a number of apprentice roles, a number of career graded roles, and we're hoping to keep those people in and bring them in. And where we struggle most in planning is the senior roles. We do all right in some of the junior ones. But
in fact, this came up at East Midlands Council, didn't it, on the employment board?
It did.
Planning in particular.
Yeah,
and housing, obviously, is also another area that has holes in it, as I call it. What I'm trying to demonstrate, and I would like the analysis, if possible, is that it's a complex issue. There isn't a direct correlation with if you put more senior grades in, then all jobs need to be newly evaluated.
That won't happen, that's correct.
But I think that's where Jim's coming from a little bit.
Okay, thank you, Jenny, for that. Councillor Snart, back to
you. Thank you, Chairman, for letting me come back. I just looked at the report and such, and I thought there was quite a lot of common ground between the union side and the council. And it said that in principle they were not opposed to adding two new jobs.
No.
great. So, and what you said tonight, Chief Executive, I think you know that's helpful as well to bring some clarity to why it is and how it will affect the whole of the council. So, I'm a bit more relaxed now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Councillor. Yeah, I read the union's proposals, and all of them seem reasonable, as far as I can say. In an area where we are having trouble with potential recruitment, appearing to be good, considerate employers with good industrial relations would seem to be a plus point, which doesn't cost us anything. So I would just say, is it not possible to incorporate the union's proposals or requests in with what we're doing? I mean, it seems to me to be sensible.
Thank you very much for that. Thanks for that. Any other members want to come in? No, I just want to make a comment. I think we've discussed this quite substantially and really well, so thank you very much for everybody's contributions. I think putting the pay scales in does give us that competitive edge, especially when other councils are recruiting for higher up the pay scale than we are for senior staff. I get the union's view of shall we look at all pay, but we can't as a committee do that. We can just look at what's in front of us. And I agree with the local government staffing needs to be better and well paid, especially if you're going to attract to the shortages that we have. I hear about the job evaluation, and I think that might be a good thing for us to look at and see how that can fit in more widely than probably just these fines. But I'm happy for us to move off to the recommendations on this one and then look at the job evaluation to see how that will fit into the organisation wider. So that might be a conversation that we have as a administration with the unions, just to see and flesh it out a bit more and see how they can engage with us, with the council, and what the pros and cons are. I don't think there are any cons really, but what the pros are and what the benefits are. But maybe that's an exercise that we do in the new year going forward, because I don't think this job evaluation is anything negative at all. I think it's a positive, but we need to make sure it fits in with the organisation and where in the organisation, low down scale, all the scale, middle of the scale, but or some roles or none. So we will just see.
I'll second that
one, yeah. So all in favour? Thank you very much. It's unanimous. Thank you.
So, just through you, Chair, I think Councillor Burke proposed that she wanted some data.
Yeah, I think Rob said he would circulate.
Are we going to do that with the report?
I will circulate the FNP rule. If that doesn't deal with all of the analysis, which I don't think it perhaps will, based on your sort of colleagues, then just email back and we'll try and find
it. But if it's minuted, then at least we've got
an action record. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for that one. Happy for Rob and Jim to leave unless you're staying for another item. Jim, feel free to.
No,
that's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Have a good Christmas.
Yes, and have a good Christmas.
Merry Christmas, both. Item 6, pay policy statement. So, Simon, are you taking us through this one?
Yes,
mate.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So this is the pay policy statement for 24-25 and grading proposal. It obviously includes the 1st of April 2023 salary scales, though, because obviously we're always in this arrears situation and obviously that hasn't yet been agreed. So this is the pay structure that was finalised following the negotiations in October 23, and that pay was paid to all staff in November. For that pay award. So the pay structure includes the proposed new JNC, E and F. For the sake of the documents, we appreciate it wasn't agreed, but obviously for the preparation for the meeting. So it's the annual report that has to be published, essentially. Most of it is repetitive and quite self-explanatory, unless there's any key points that you want to go through, you've got any questions. I mean, on page 33, at point 8, part of the document is the proposed additions that have been made in line with the paper statement that are different. And as I say, that includes the proposed new JNCF and G grades and the removal of spinal column 0.74, which is the deputy chief exec role. And then there's just the remuneration on appointment, and that's just for us to clarify that currently the rule that's followed is when anybody comes new into the authority, they start at the bottom of the spinal column points, there's ranging between 3 and 5 points for each grade, but this is opening up for recruiting managers in another recruitment tool that we want to utilise, that they don't have to automatically start people at the bottom of the grade, they can start at the midpoint or even at the top in exceptional circumstances, just as we say, another bolt on really to ensure we can try and recruit. And we're also just asking for clarification on the JNC recruitment, incremental process. When the previous chief executive was here, even though pay awards were effective from the 1st of April, he didn't award those until the December annual performance reviews had been approved and processed. But actually, Rob's changed that stance. He likes his staff to get the award on the 1st of April, and if there's any performance issues, he deals with those differently. He doesn't feel it's fair to hold that pay award back until that review's taken place. So it's just to clarify that that's also something he wanted to do.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Anna, for that. Any questions from any members? Councillor Starr.
Thank you, Chair. Just page 38, when we look, it talks about the paying multiple. The ratio between the highest paid salary, chief exec, and the average salary council workforce is 5.82. Is that good, bad or ugly, or how does it fit with the other sort of organisations?
I think it's very average. I think we're probably well in the middle, actually. If anything, a little bit higher, but only probably a point, minuscule of a point. But okay. From what that's a good average for child would be fair. Not varied a lot for many years.
Do we know what it was last year? Do you, Chair?
Sam's going to say yes, fortunately. He's my mathematician. Sally's not here.
It would be just interesting to see a trend, if you like. Yeah. You know, what we're actually
doing. I did look at it.
It might be just in last year's piece or something.
Yeah,
I've scrolled it down.
I think if I may, I think it was... Well, the chief executive is now gone, but when he was appointed, there was a bit of an uplift in chief executive salary compared to his predecessor, so that actually created sort of, so the numerator of the fraction sort of went up and the denominator stayed roughly the same. So I think if you went back 2 or 3 years, there's a bit of a jump, I think. It's just...
Just interested if we're in line.
Yeah, it's not we're not an outlier, we're not an outlier.
No. So last year it was 5.86.
Yeah.
And the previous year it was 5.66.
Oh,
okay. So, as I said, a couple of points, nothing significant.
Thank you.
And that could, be something quite simple to explain.
So I think just it changes in the median. If you lose or gain 2 or 3 staff, then the median can move a little bit as well. So.
And obviously, this is just a document we have to publish on the website from the 1st of April each year, so this isn't in preparation for April next year due to how the committee's full.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Any further questions from members? Councillor Boateng?
Yeah. Well, you were there as well, but apprentices came up at East Midlands. Am I holding you up?
Yeah.
East Midlands Council. And I can't remember the terminology, but there was a trend, wasn't there, where resources for apprentices weren't being taken up by local authorities.
By the apprenticeship
levy.
The levy. Yeah, the levy. Yeah. And I wondered where we were, Charnwood, in that.
It's not something we do in HR. It's Helen's there. It's Kevin. So you perhaps know the answer, do you, Helen?
I know a little bit of the answer for you, Chair. So, from what I understand about the levy, we have to pay a certain amount over into central government, and then we can draw down on that levy for our apprentices, of which there are now a much wider range of apprentices. So, obviously, previously we were traditional apprentices in perhaps our craft workers.
That's right.
We have had a number of internal staff that we have put onto an apprentice contract and paid for. So essentially, they have had further development, and we've used the apprenticeship levy to pay for that further development. So we've had some at degree level, we've had a couple at master's level, and we've also done everything that we can to encourage apprentices into other areas of the organisation.
So do you know how much levy
I don't know how much, but I think we are in a very similar position to other authorities in
well,
the
they said
that it's going back to the
it wasn't 100% take up.
Yeah.
Because the rules around it were too restrictive.
The other element is that the availability of courses.
Yes.
So you know, again, we go back to planning. We were looking at the apprenticeship, using the apprenticeship levy to grow our own staff through. The situation's changed a little bit now, but it was the courses for those degree and career graded planners were very few and far between.
Yes. But so, haven't Wampra College introduced them or something?
I'm not sure if they have.
Right.
But we are doing what we can to spend the levy, but we're not spending it at the same rate.
No.
That we so some of it is going back to central government. The actual figures I don't know, but we would be able to supply those.
Could you find that out for me, please? Just a quick email and we'll do.
Yes.
Because the man from local government that was his name was asking
from the LGA
for,
he was wasn't he from
sorry
the, from the LGA I think he
yeah,
was
was asking for any information we could provide him
yeah.
with in order to improve the process because it's slightly failing.
I know through, we are not unique in Leicestershire to
no.
this, outside and a national picture, perhaps it's the same and that's why they're looking at it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Just to add to that, I think East Midlands Council, when they're looking for this type of data, they do contact us direct. So
yeah, they said they sent
yeah.
a survey out,
yeah, they
but were, have you, have, do you know if you have sent it back?
It would have gone to Kevin, who manages the apprentices, but if they come in from East Midlands Council, we always fill them in simply because
yeah.
we sometimes ask for information in return, so
yeah.
hence, you know, we've never not filled it in.
It's obviously
it
a good...
benefit us.
It's a good resource. Whether it's being used properly is a different question. I mean, I'm not homing in on Charnwood.
Yeah.
I'm merely saying that it's available and perhaps we're not making the most of it, but that could be because you say the availability of courses. But it's a he needs all information possible to go back upwards
yes.
to say, can we change this because
yeah.
it's not working because of A, B and C.
Yeah, if there are restrictions on the levy, then at a national level, perhaps they need to be
yeah.
looked at.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you
very much. Any further questions? If not, the recommendations are that the pay policy statement for 24-25 attached at Appendix A be agreed and proceed to full council for formal approval and adoption.
I'll second.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Yeah, all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, cheers, thank you. All right, we'll just move then to item 7, which is the gender pay gap.
Okay, again, this is a document that we produce yearly. It's required under the Equalities Act to provide this and to publish it. So as we've got over 250 employees at Charnwood, we obviously can be part of that. Again, it's quite self-explanatory in the report. There's a lot of data in there. I think the key thing to remember is that we've had some other questions from other groups that when we talk about the gender pay gap, the issue here isn't that we're paying male or female staff in the same roles differently. It's the gap of different salaries for different male and female employees.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to clarify that because we did have some confusion.
It's not an equal pay issue.
No,
it
isn't.
Not like tennis at Wimbledon, where the male finalist
yeah, exactly,
gets a lot
yes.
more than the female.
Yeah,
no, it's definitely
not
like tennis at Wimbledon, but it's not
sorry?
Like it's not like Birmingham City Council,
so we're not having a back. Okay, thank you very much for that. Any questions to Anna regarding the report? Councillor Scott?
Just on page 60, the reason I guess is it overall females occupy 43% of the highest paid, and 69.5 the lowest paid jobs. So you're going to get a difference, aren't you?
Mm.
It's not unequal, it's just that the numbers are different.
Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Councillor Haynes?
Presumably, as basically more or less just suggested, the difference arises from the number of men compared to women in the upper quartile.
Yeah.
So what are we doing to try and address the difference?
Well, I mean, we advertise equally for males and females to apply. You know, whether we get females applying for high level jobs or lower level jobs, men applying, we can't aim at any different audience than the audience we aim at. We offer flexible working, we offer job share roles to encourage, you know, joint working of males, females, you know, two females into a job. It is the nature of some of the jobs that we have, potentially, you know, planners perhaps are more, I don't know whether that's a good example, I've got planners on my mind tonight. Certain areas just generally attract different sexes, you know.
I can sort of add. some of the things that we've sort of documented and that we have done are things such as promoting gender representation throughout the recruitment process. So we actively look to do that, promoting opportunities to support sort of progression internally, raising confidence in applicants to apply for positions. We do monitor the recruitment and selection. Promotions within the council, we monitor feedback from staff who exit the organisation to see if there's any sort of gender specific issues or anything like that. We're going to be looking at gaining feedback on gender balance, monitoring the gender pattern of take up of agile working opportunities, and as my manager just sort of said, we're also looking at more flexible ways of applying agile working to try and promote this. One of the sort of, I guess, areas that skew the figures quite a bit is sort of repairs and maintenance, where the role is predominantly, I've just done a restructure for it, and it's 100% male in terms of within that area. Now, they actually, if you look at the pay grade itself, they come in the lower median, I believe, median quartile. However, what they are required to do is to provide a standby and call out, and that then takes them into the upper middle quartile. So therefore that again skews a lot of the figures. One of the other things that skews a lot of figures is part-time working generally seems to be more readily available in lower paid graded roles. And if you look at these statistics, you'll know that more female workers choose to work part-time, whereas in the more senior roles, it's a bit more difficult to sort of incorporate things such as job shares or part-time working hours. It is a bit more difficult, and again, that impacts the stuff. I'm part of the Equality Working Group. At the present moment, we're reviewing and we're requesting input from all various different groups to have input into the gender pay gap and suggestions and things. That they can put forward to try and improve our offerings. But saying that, even with all of that, there are just certain roles that certain genders seem to pick.
Okay. Thank you very much, Shamil, for that one. Councillor Haynes.
Yeah, I understand that certain jobs traditionally attract different sexes doing those jobs. I'm not entirely sure that applies to the people in the jobs in the upper quartile, the executives, for a better description. So I'm puzzled about why there is such a discrepancy, 69 to 52, in that sector. And that's what I was particularly interested in. If there was, I mean, for one thing, does that balance is that balance reflected in the applications that you get for one of those jobs?
I would say. I don't think anything stands out as being obviously apparent, you know, male, female applicants in that area where we have recruited to. interviews you've been involved in with men and female,
weren't they? I mean, in terms of the most recent ones, I mean, I've supported you with, I think,
that was
in terms of the applicants we had, in terms of the interviewing, we interviewed two female and I want to say two.
There's three.
So three.
Well, there's three. Oh, did one drop out? But there was.
It well, it was three female and two.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you five and it was three and two.
So there was more female than male, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what I have done is I have requested data from IT around recruitment, and one of the things that I have requested is if they could break down the number of female applicants compared to the number of male applicants. So potentially I could look at some point once I hopefully have access to those figures, try and provide sort of an overview of the numbers of applicants we're getting within sort of each grade.
I mean, obviously, in the period, Rob's senior leadership restructure occurred, and obviously there was some females who chose to take early retirement, so obviously that could have changed that figure slightly as well at that point.
Thank you very much for that. Any further questions?
It's also my observation there does seem to be a difference in appetite for part-time working, which may account for some of the differences. But you said it's more difficult to have job share at the higher grades. Has that been explored?
I think if we had a post where we struggled to fill, or we had candidates who, because it's not uncommon that people apply for a full-time job and actually say is part-time or job share considered, you know, if we had those requests, we would always consider that application, you know, in that realm.
Okay.
Cheers, thank you, Councillor Hampton. Any further questions? If not, the committee is asked to note the report. Noted, thank you very much. We'll come to item 8, which is exempt information. It is recommended that members of the public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of the following item on the grounds that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Thank you, Councillor Baker. All in favour? Yes. Thank you.